Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response midday for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. And today I'm going to cheat a little. I say that ahead of time, but if you want to complain to me after the experience, then please email me at grothst@gmail.com. And please don't blame Rabbi Jack Abramowitz or David Hochhauser or the OU. They do us great favors. They do me a great favor by making these shiurim available online, and I thank them for that. And today, what I mean is that I found the tshuva from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar HaSheni. So you got to remember that other shenis don't happen all the time. It's seven times every 19 years, so there's not that many tshuvot. There's not that many response on it. So there's a brief response from Igrot Moshe in the Choshen Mishpat section, which I think is interesting because this is going to be about a health issue, and yet it's in the Choshen Mishpat section. He puts it there in the second volume, second time he got to Choshen Mishpat, Simon Ayin Bet, response number 72. He's talking about heart transplants. So it's a relatively brief response, and yet it then leads sort of into issues of brain death, I think. So I connected the two. So and because I think the reasonings are similar, I think that's what got me into it. So Moshe Feinstein is going to talk to us about heart transplants, and then we're going to see the Tzitz Eliezer talk about brain death. Now, let's remember also that medical advances often change the answers to these questions. What I mean is that they are responding to the situation they had at the time in front of them, based on the medical evidence they had in front of them, and then Tzitz Eliezer at least will say some things to us about medicine in general that I think are still relevant, but that also shape how we experience these questions. So those will be important issues, but it's always possible that a medical advance happens that nobody expected to have happen, nobody knew to happen, and then not that the halakha changes, it's that the facts on the ground are different, and then the halakhic response to those facts will be different. So I am not claiming, so these two votes were We're going to see Rav Moshe Feinstein from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni of Tav Shin Lamed Chet of 1978. We're going to see when Rav Moshe Feinstein, by the way, was an 83-year-old man. So his longevity is an important thing to remember. And then we're going to see Tzitz Eliezer from the 25th of Mar Cheshvan of Tav Shin Nun Hei, which refers back to previous ones, 1994 probably. Chof Chet of Mar Cheshvan of 1994. But it's 23 years later and things have changed. So I am not saying that these are halachot we have to follow. These are part of my project of learning from earlier poskim, earlier mishivim, earlier respondents to see how they dealt with halacha and to learn halachic, interesting halachic facts and ideas from them. And I'm not claiming that we would paskin on the basis of this at any time necessarily, unless we find that the halacha, that none of the relevant facts on the relevant issues have changed in the intervening period and that they became the consensus, their view became the consensus. So when it comes to Rav Moshe's tshuva, he was asked by Kalman Kahana, who was an important Israeli politician and an Orthodox observant Israeli politician, and he was talking about heart transplants. So he says, I already answered you in a telegram. It's a reminder that many of these tshuvot are, and I think this is an issue I've raised a couple of other times, but I think the answer is many of these tshuvot are a written record of interactions that I've had. So it's just like, let's say, after a business meeting, sometimes people will write up the notes of the meeting and they'll circulate them to make sure that everybody agrees about what happened in the meeting. So certainly somebody like Rav Moshe Feinstein, but others as well, when they have a halachic interaction with ramifications, they'll write it up to include it in eventual sefer. So in my telegram to you, I already told you that it's prohibited to do heart transplants. This is 1978. I'm not saying what you can do now. 1978, why? So he says it's ritzicha biyadayim l'shtei nefashot. It is killing two people. As I wrote, he says, I already wrote in 1968. So this is 1978. He doesn't think anything has changed. And the 68, the tshuva from Tav Shin Chafchet, from 5728, from 1968, had already been published in Igros Moshe, Chelek Bet of the Yoridea section, Simon Kuf Ayin Dalet. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us. And he wrote, I already wrote there, so I'm not going to go on with more pilpulim, and we're not going to get into this issue. He's taking it very seriously. He's very clear on it, that nobody should think that there's room to say that it's permissible. So he says, but I will want to write a note that I had my son-in-law, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, who is still alive, Yibadul Chaim Tov Baruchim, who checked all the medical literature in the intervening 10 years, and nothing's gotten better. That it doesn't seem like, and this is where things, if things change in the halacha, the halakhic response to a question will clearly change as well, that it doesn't seem that people live more than maybe a couple of years. Some people live only a couple of months. And when they're living with these heart transplants, their lives are full of pain and suffering, and they have to go to doctors all the time. And it's no, basically what he's saying is, it's no material advantage in terms of life. And in America, They mostly have prohibited heart transplants. This is the case what he's reporting in 1978. Other than one state that allowed, the greatest experts in heart transplants to do it. But he says, but part of what you have to understand is that non-Jews don't have the same. What he says is, "Ein choshishin l'rechitza, re'er l'rechitza." He says they don't worry about murder. Now, he doesn't mean they don't worry about murder, because obviously they're worried about murder. What he means is their definitions of murder are so different than our definitions of murder that the fact that they think that it's allowed to do, that it's permissible to do, doesn't should affect us, should be part of our calculus. And he says that also many people, many places don't allow it to do. And therefore, when the doctors say that it's gotten better, it's not true. They lie about it. Now, I want to say, it's my experience. This is not, people will say, oh, you're anti-science, you're anti-medicine, you do this. I think it's very important to remember that there are certainly times when people of science, including doctors, will exaggerate or even sometimes flat out lie, but often exaggerate, meaning, I had an experience many years ago where somebody said to us, said to me and somebody else that, we think that X eventuality is so significant, you think you should think about doing Y serious action. And eventually, then they wouldn't tell me numbers. And eventually, I finally got them to say what their numbers were. And they said, we don't know for sure. But they were very careful about it. But they said, but we think there might be as much as a 1 in 6 chance that this bad thing would happen. And therefore, you should think about this very, very serious course of action that has serious and long-term ramifications. And it was unbelievable, because if I had tracked them down on the numbers, I would have thought that was like the, so I think 5 out of 6, the chance that everything would be fine 5 out of 6 times would be, is an important, anyway. Sorry for that sermon, but that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying. He's saying something, when they say sometimes they think things got better. So what would things have got better mean? If we do 1,000 heart transplants, and it used to be that 999 people died, and now it's gotten much better, only 992 people die. Right? That's much better. But it's not much better in a halachic way. So I think he means something like that. And therefore, he thinks it's clear. He thinks that heart transplants at the time were murder of both. So why does both? Because the person whose heart you're taking out, meaning the person who is the patient who needs the heart transplant, when you take out the old heart, you're killing them. So you're thinking that by putting in the new heart, you're going to help them, but Rosh Fein says you're not really helping them, because they're not living that much longer, if anything longer, and it's a terrible suffering life. And so that, and then the only way you can harvest the heart is if, and that's why I turned to brain death in this situation, is if we hold that person, the old person, the first person, doesn't need the heart anymore. But why don't they need the heart anymore? If it's not beating, that it starts dying right away and you can't transplant. So the only way you can do a transplant is in the cases of brain death. And Rav Moshe here, at least, now later on, Rabbi Tendler, and I do not in any way know the facts of these situations, Rabbi Tendler, there's a whole debate. Rabbi Tendler believes that Rav Moshe Feinstein eventually came to agree that brain death is, in fact, a form of, halakhically, counts as death, and therefore transplantation could occur, right? That's part of the challenge of organ transplantation, that in many cases, for organ transplantation, before you can take out the organ, person needs to be dead, right? You can take, for example, you can do liver transplants with a live donor, because you don't take the whole liver, because just that there's so much liver that you can get by easily with a much smaller portion of the liver. So you take off part of the liver, you transplant to a new person, and it can work. You can take a kidney out of a person, and it doesn't kill them, because people have two kidneys, and many people can do just fine with one kidney. Most people can do just fine with one kidney, whenever you don't have to worry about it, right? So there are ways that you can do some organ transplantation, but many other organ transplantations you can't do until the person dies, and then as soon as they die, the organs start to decay, and then you can't use them then. So that's part of why brain death is such an important category, because if the person is brain dead, and this is what the medical idea is, that the brain activity is stopped so fully and so significantly, and there's no way it's ever going to be recovered, right? These are all the parts of the argument of brain death, that even though the heart is still beating, and often it's on a heart-lung machine, or even the person's still breathing in that sense, the heart's still beating, they're keeping alive in that way, the medical field thinks that you can think of that, and there's no, I think they claim there's no blood making its way to the brain or something like that, but they're so, person is so clinically dead, even though there's some physical function going on, that counts as death, and therefore you can transplant. So that would be the claim you'd need for a heart transplant as well. You need to say that we're not taking the heart out of a live person. The heart is here. The Rosh Feinstein says you're killing two people. It seems to me he's implying, at least here in 1978, that he thinks that there's no such thing as brain death as a halachic reality. That's the whole tshuva. And when I pick them out, I think that I know that the pickings for other bet are relatively slim, so I do what at my best to come up with a range and to come up with the best ones that I can and whatever, but sometimes I have to reach a little bit. So in this case, once that put us onto the topic of brain death, I thought it was interesting to stick to Eliezer's position. And I am not, again, saying this is the only way to see it. I'm not posculating this way. I'm just, when you have somebody who is, and I think I found occasions where the Eliezer takes a position that I find very difficult, but Eliezer was an astounding representative of Torah, and astounding and well thought out, and not just knowledge wise, but well thought out and insightful, and hoping to help people. And so, therefore, he takes a position. I think it bears being taken very, very seriously. I say about him what I used to only say, or often say, most often say, but look, I said about other people too, that I'm not claiming that I would follow everything that they say. It's not like if they say it, I feel a complete obligation to do it. Absolutely. I don't think they felt that I needed to do it that way. But anything they say, I think, has to be taken extremely, extremely seriously, because these are people who my interactions with them have made clear. Since these are, sadly for me, only through his writings, but have made clear that these are people whose opinions are always ones that need to be taken into account and need to be thought of very seriously as soon as you hear from them. So in the city of Ezer, Chelech Chaf Aleph Simon Chaf Chet, volume number 21, response number 28, from the 25th of Mar Cheshvan of Tuf Shin Nun Hei, which would have been 1994. He's writing to a certain doctor. He got a letter from him, and he says, I got your letter today, and I'm rushing to write you back. Because, and let's remember that 1994, the Ezra, who was also blessed with a long life, a long and productive life, doesn't he live a long time, but he was really productive, very, very, up to very, very close to the end of his life, was remarkably productive. So 1994, he's about, as far as I know, he's about 78 years old. He says, I'm rushing to write you back right now because I was stunned to read in your letter that people claim that I've come to believe that heart transplants are okay based on brain death. So I want to announce very publicly and very clearly that I still think it's also like I thought it was also back then, and I published a previous tshuvot in the Tzitz Eliezer saying that, and therefore you should know it, and I published it. I agree with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav El Yashiv, who were both older than the Tzitz Eliezer by 6 years, and they were about the same age as each other as far as I know. So we all think that brain death is a problem. Meaning, not it's a problem, that halakhically it doesn't count as death, therefore you can't do this. And then it happened, he says, with Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm going to copy his letter, meaning he's assuming that Rav Moshe Feinstein agrees with them that brain death does not count halakhically as a kind of death. And then he says, in this is 1994, so he says, in the intervening years from when Rav Moshe wrote the letter that we just saw together, he says, it might be that the situation got better for the patient who receives the heart transplant, meaning it could be, you could say to me today, you're not killing that guy because you're giving him or her extra life, and that life is of reasonable quality, that it's not a killing of him, but you haven't done anything for the person you're taking it from, because that all starts with the claim that brain death counts as death, and if it doesn't, then you're killing the person. And so, since the Ezra here says, it's very clear to him, and we're going to get into some of the reasons in the next response that we're going to quote of his, but as long as the heart is beating, he thinks it's a very serious prohibition against taking out that heart. Because that's a murder, and once our heart stops beating, of course, it starts decaying, and then you can't do transplantation. And he says, even though it's true, meaning one argument against brain death is that we don't really know that they're brain death, but he says, even if it's true that the brain, including the brain stem, is not functioning at all, right? So that would be the claim of brain death. He says, it doesn't matter. That's not our halachic standard of death. As I've said at Grainth Inn, other tshuvot, and then he quotes Nishmat Avraham, which is a book of halacha, medical halacha, by Rav Avraham, I think. There's two great doctors, Avraham Steinberg and Avraham, I think Nishmat Avraham is by Avraham. Yes, it's by Avraham, Dr. Avraham, Rabbi Dr. Avraham S. Avraham. So he's an important, he is still an important rabbi, doctor, Talmud Chacham type, who works as a doctor and publishes on medical halacha, who writes in Nishmat Avraham, this is what he's quoting, that on a Motzei Shabbos in 1988, I sat with Rav El Yashiv, says this Dr. Avraham, I sat with Rav El Yashiv, and I explained to him all the medical aspects of brain death and the death of the brain stem, and it's not functioning, and that would be the reason you would say that this person isn't alive in any meaningful sense anymore, and all the checks that you do, and all the conditions that they require in the medical literature before they allow it, right? And that in most of these cases where there's brain death, then the person's going to die in any case within 48 hours. It's not always true, but in most cases, he says that's the way it works. And therefore, that meaning that the heart will stop as well. And he says, and Rav Yoshua said, you know what, you've convinced me that in most cases, this person is going to die in a very short time. But you haven't proven to me that this counts as death now. Because Rav Yoshua held, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Bar Habakkuk held, and the Tzitzit Ezra is holding very strongly, that as long as the heart is beating, the patient has not passed away, you can't take out parts of the body the patient needs for living, including especially that very heart. So since the Ezra goes into it more fully, had gone into it more fully in 1986, and it's true for the second day of Mar Cheshvan of Tufshin Mem Zayin in 1986. This was published in Tzitzit Ezra, Volume 17, Response Number 66, The Prohibition of Heart Transplantation, and also, he says, liver transplantation. I don't understand the liver transplantation, I have to say, because I think, as I said earlier in the thing, my understanding is, and I had a father who passed away, Alav HaShalom, in 1988, meaning in Tufshin Mem, in Chanukah of Tufshin Mem Tet, and part of the issue right then was whether or not we would do a liver transplant. And at the time, this is a long time ago, but at the time, I think they said that you can do liver transplants. Not they weren't talking halakhically, because the person doesn't have to die to give a liver transplant. You can do live liver transplantation. I don't know. So I don't know why I use that example, but certain heart transplantation will be a good example. So he says, I'm astounded. This is 1986. He's writing in 1986. He says, I'm astounded of what I want to hear about the Rambam Medical Center in Haifa, that they're trying to do heart transplantation. They're going to take a heart from one Jew to another Jew, and they're going to call it donation and reception. And I'm taking time out of my very busy schedule to talk about all these issues. He says it's well known that there are certain gedolim who have allowed it in certain situations, right? Not as a policy, but you come to them with a particular case and the word goes out, so and so gadol was matir, a heart transplant for so and so. He says, but you need to know that in all those situations, the donor was a non-Jew. And the non-Jews allow themselves to do that, and they allowed a Jew to receive such a transplant. Now, he doesn't go into it here, but I think what he's implying is, it's not that it's right, because after all, non-Jews aren't allowed to kill people either. And so one possibility is that you could hold that the standard of death for non-Jews for their murder is different than the standard of death for Jews for those purposes. I don't think that's what he means. He doesn't get into it, so I'm guessing. I don't think that's what he means. I think what he means is that those gedolim, I decided that since non-Jews have allowed themselves to do this, and they're doing it anyway, that once the heart is out, you can let a Jew be the recipient. But I'm not positive. Anyway, that's not his concern. His concern is, but that says nothing that it should come to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, and Jews should be the donors, meaning Jews who sadly have passed away, who are about to pass away, meaning he doesn't think they've passed away, Jews who have fallen into a state of clinical brain death, who the doctors want to then allow transplantation from, he's astounded by it. I want to pause and make sure that I mention that a while back, a very nice man came up to me at whatever occasion and said, you don't know me, but I listen to your tapes all the time. I listen to your recordings on the response a day, and I really, really like them. And he says, except that you had a Tzitzit Eliezer, I think that was also maybe about brain death. So it could be that I'm repeating myself, and if I am, I don't mean to. I do these things, you know, I pick these things far apart from each other, and I pick them at very different times, and I don't always remember which I've done when, and I try not to repeat too much. But these seem to be important topics. It feels very strongly about it. Now I had a tshuva of Moshe's that was one of the few tshuvot for this day, which sort of led us into the discussion, who said to me, you know, the medical things have changed these days. So I think the truth is that might have been about other medical issues that he had a problem with. So these medical things might have changed as well, but he's saying this is a definitional issue. We define death differently than everybody else does, and therefore to allow a Jew to be thought of as a donor when halakhically he's still alive, he says it's terrible. He's very upset by it, and he pauses to remind us of how serious murder is. Right, there's a Rambam in the fourth chapter, Hilchos Rotzeach, Halacha Tet, Ki Kol Mi Sheyesh Biyado Avon Zeh, this sin of Ratzicha, of killing, of murder, is a Rasha Gamur. That alone, this is a broader topic that I find very interesting. The whole idea of, you know, life is a big picture. Absolutely, right? We're all complicated people. Absolutely. We all have good things about us. We hope we all have good things about us. And sadly, probably almost all of us have not so good things about us. But there are things that overweigh that. There are things for the good. So there are examples where halacha or hashkafa will say, you know, you do this and you're guaranteed a place in the world to come. What? All of a sudden, everything else goes away? I don't think it means everything else. It means that thing stands out so remarkably. And unfortunately, sadly, there are things that stand out remarkably the other way. And mertzicha, murder, is one of them. And the Rambam writes, "Ve'en kol ha-mitzvot she'asa kol yemei chayav shikulin kineged avon zeh." And all the mitzvot in a life can't weigh up. Remember, the Rambam talks about the way judgment works is there's a balancing, but the balancing isn't a number balancing. It's a qualitative balancing. And he's saying if somebody, he means here, willfully and deliberately and knowingly commits murder, all the other mitzvot can't weigh against it. I think that's a little bit of hyperbole, because there are mitzvot about which we say you do that mitzvah, it stands against everything. So whatever the exact weighing, the exact calculus is, not our important issue. It's a reminder, though, that when it comes to murder, and this comes up at the end of life, and it sometimes comes up at the start of life as well, meaning there are occasions in halacha, I think, thinks of things like abortion, certain kinds of abortion, forms of abortion as murder, and then when people ignore it, it's not only that they're ignoring a halakhic requirement, which they're just pointing out, it's that they're falling into the trap of committing murder while they don't think they're doing it, and that's a very serious issue to keep in mind. So to hear, right, nobody thinks that these doctors think they're committing murder when they do a heart transplant, but Mitzvah thinks they are, and therefore he thinks the seriousness of it has to be taken into consideration. I just remembered that the previous tshuva that I was talking about, today's tshuva, was talking about artificial insemination. So thank God I'm not completely repeating myself. He says here also an important comment that he makes is that the Torah talks about, that when you have innocent people being killed, it's the case of Egla Arufa, when somebody is found dead between two cities, then innocent people get killed. So the Torah says, La'aretz lo yuchupar. I think that's where it says it. La'aretz lo yuchupar. Sorry, it's not Egla Arufa case. It's a case of if somebody kills somebody else and the murderer claims it was accidental, it was unwitting, and therefore wants to pay a fee to get out of having to go to the Eir Miklat, the Torah says, no, person's got to stay in the Eir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol passes away, and you can't hurt the land, you can't, the Tachanifu, sorry, you can't embarrass the land, shame the land by allowing this murderer to go back and live in his house, and the land won't be atoned for the blood that was spilled in it, and then it goes on from there. And that his point is that it's not only that people have committed murder and there's a crime in our midst, it's that it affects the whole land, and therefore he says, I can't stay silent on this issue. That's another important point to think about when we do and don't allow ourselves to stay silent. Today, many times people will say, if you see something wrong, just let people do what they want to do and don't complain about it so much and don't yell about it so much, but I can't stay quiet, he's saying here, because it's very clear that you can't do a transplantation. He said you can't do, again, he says here several times, I've skipped most of them, he says heart or liver transplants. I don't know why he says that about liver, because I really think there are live liver transplantations. You cut out a piece of a liver, anyway, whatever the medical reality is, but certainly heart transplantations, unless you take it out while the person still has some life in them, because... Right, so because once the person dies, the heart stops beating, then you can't do a transplant because the heart's dead. So he's saying it's a smiute, it's a trick. He's saying you call it clinical death, and the reason why they call it that, he's claiming, because he holds very firmly, very strongly. I'm not saying it's the only way to hold. I think there are plenty, many, many other people today. There's a whole website called, you know, the Halakhic Organ Donor Society, and they've got a whole website, and they have their, you know, important Torah scholars who looked into the issue who think that the halakha goes the other way. So I am not ruling on that issue. The Ezra happens to feel very strongly about this, and he says, and the reason they call it clinical death, and this I think is an important central point for lots of other issues as well, he says, is to calm their conscience and say, not only their conscience, but the conscience of the donors, the conscience of the people receiving these donations, that they shouldn't think they're committing murder. Now, I think that issue of what we define as what is a really very sharp point. Whatever the reality, halakhic reality of brain death is, the idea that we have in the society around this time when they decide something is okay or even good, And therefore, they defined it a different way. And then that definition lets us think about it a different way. And all of a sudden, something which we had originally thought of as a problem and an issue and a sin and evil, we decide to ourselves is okay, is good. That's a very key thing and point to track and to follow. Because I've seen it happen with many other things where people define things a certain way. And it's happened to the Jewish people in any other occasions. You define the Jews a certain way, all of a sudden it's okay to treat them in a way you'd never treat somebody else. So I think this is an important issue that he's raised here. So we call it brain death. As soon as we call it brain death, you say, oh, it's death. As you call it clinical death. Oh, clinical death. Oh, so I'm taking the heart out of a clinically dead person. Okay, but he's clinically dead. So the answer is protesting that use of language as a trick to shape the conversation. You get this conversation, let's say, for example, and those who want to talk about abortion rights, or reproductive rights as opposed to family or family planning as opposed, right? And so the way that you say these things, and there are people whose job it is to find the way to say it that will take away some of the sting from it. But that's an important point to notice because you're using language to trick yourself sometimes into approaching an issue in a way that you would not have then, until then, have approached it. Then he throws in, he says, I was talking to an important doctor about this issue, a professor, Rofe Lev Gadol, an important cardiologist who's also a Torah scholar and also a Yirei Shamayim, right, an observant Jew, and he cares about the Torah. And he said to me, of course, this heart is still beating in the people with clinical brain death. And he asked, ironically, let's suppose the family doesn't want to let this person who's clinically or brain dead donate their organs. They still won't have some hope, whatever it is. And I came to a Rav and I said to him, can I mechal Shabbos to save this person's life? Let's say something else happens and it's life-threatening, as it were, can I mechal Shabbos? Or that's another one. In the case of brain death, do I have to warn all the Kohanim not to come into contact with that person because he's already dead? So this doctor who asked it to the Tzedezer, he was clear, and the Tzedezer was clear, that no, we don't apply those categories to them at all. Right? So that's a sharp point. I'm not saying what their answer is, but that's a sharp point. Meaning, if you're going to say brain death counts as death, then it should count as death fully, and we should say this person's already dead. Now we should unhook them from, let's say there's nobody who needs their organs for transplantation. Let's say their organs are so diseased, there's no way you're going to be able to transplant the organs. Okay. And they become brain dead. Would we just, end treatment completely and bury them? So it could be that there are people who would say yes, but the answer is taken for granted. The answer is no, and that we would. And if something came up and we wanted, for whatever reason, to violate Shabbat to help them, that he's assuming we could. So these are kind of complicated questions. And it's important to remember that the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, and very positive Halakha at the Rambam, that until a person is fully dead, is all dead, not mostly dead, but all dead, bonus points for knowing where that comes from. If a person is only mostly dead, and we do anything to help that happen faster, the example of the Gemara is Ma'atzim Einav. You close the eyes. Right? Person's eyes, his person is sadly passing away, and you close their eyes, and that ends the process. That's considered full halachic murder. And the Rambam says it very clearly in the second chapter of Hilchos Roseach. You kill somebody who's healthy, you kill somebody who's ill, who's on their way, who's about to, right? Even a goses. That's why we halachically don't touch gosesim, because we're afraid that our touching them will itself hasten their passing away. So the answer is, as long as there's any life in a person, we're not allowed to do anything, and that's what these things is the case of brain death. Now he talks about where he got that from. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he says, and this is not in the context of brain death, because the Chasam Sofer lived way before that was an issue, that the timing of death is a halakha l'moshe m'Sinai, and that Chazal attached it to the verse of Kol Asher Ruach Be'apo, whoever has breath in his nose. So that breath issue is, it's a matter of breathing. And as long as the heart is beating, there's breathing going on. That's the point, right? Circulation is what respiration is connected to. So if you talk about brain death, you're changing what our tradition is, and we have a tradition we don't question where Chazal have. Now the people who think that brain death does count, they know this halakha, but they think there are other sources that say that breathing was used only as an example of knowing that the brain was functioning, that people could, that there was functioning going on in the body, but that if you had a situation where you knew that wasn't true, then that wouldn't be it. But that's not the Siddur's position. He also points out, and I think this is an important point, regardless of what the issues of brain death are, he says people say, well, if the family consents, but the family's not has not the right consent. Even the donor doesn't have the right consent. Meaning, even if a Jew says, I understand that, God forbid, if something might happen and I become completely brain dead, I want my organs to be donated. This says, and again, this is true as long as it's true that brain death isn't death. If it is death, then this, what he's about to say, doesn't count. But he says, nobody has the right to say that. If it's not right, a person can't say, listen, if I'm a Gosix, forget the brain death issue. Listen, he's clearly not brain dead, but he's clearly going to die within an hour or two. If the person said, and even non-Jews don't accept this, the person said, you know what, if I'm a Gosix and I can't, and I can't communicate anymore and I'm unconscious and I can't, you can cut me open and take out my organs and it's fine. Well, nobody would do that. So that's the other thing. So it's not like the consent matters in any way because it's not something people have the right to consent on. Then when he's bringing some further sources to try to support him, he says, and I would not have known this, it's interesting that he does, he says, Galen said that life happens in the brain, and Aristotle said it happens in the heart. And meaning he's saying, and we follow Aristotle. Rabbi Postin's like Aristotle, which is so fascinating that Galen said it back then, because those who think they know what happens in the brain will say, see, even Galen already knew it. In any case, the Rabbi follows Aristotle, as does the Chacham Tzvi in Siman Ayin Zion, and there's a Rashbatz. And then the Gemara Yomah says that it's really not in the heart or in the mind, it's in the nose, but that's really about Nishmat Ruach HaPeh, about breathing. And then there are people who say that if the brain, this is what leads some people, he's saying, leads some people think of this as the brain, because if the brain doesn't send the signal to breathe, then you're not breathing. But he says, that's not what's going on, right? That's the other opinion. But he said, that's not what's going on. When Chazal said the breath, and they got it from the Pasuk of Kol Asher Nishmat Ruach Chayim Be'apo, who has the soul of life in his nose, what they meant was, as a chumrah, they meant even if the heart has stopped beating, if they're still breathing in the nose, then you have to believe that that's what's going on. But that really, generally, the nose is to reveal to us, in a case where we can't get access to the heart to find out, that the heart is still beating. But it's really about the heart beat. Then he throws in an important point that he holds very strongly, and I think is one thing to consider, at least not in terms of life, but in terms of other medical questions. He says there's no difference if the person is not shafui b'dato, is not able to be conscious or aware or in his right mind, or he's completely demented. None of that, he thinks, has any relevance to this question, because it's all murder, and as long as a person has life, it's all considered murder, and all these kinds of things. So there's a little bit more here, but I think we've covered, and since our real date is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, Bet, and that was the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, the heart transplantation that started us all, I think we'll stop here, and just point out that heart transplantation gets us into these very crucial, very significant issues, both narrow, specific to this issue of brain death, and then broader conceptual issues about how we approach medicine. There's some of your stuff here about saying, when can we trust doctors, when we can't trust doctors, how we approach medicine, how we understand the application of halacha to the medical realities of each and every time. And that is responsive day for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. With thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz, to David Hachhauser, I bid you a good day.